right, if you know Bible prophecy, you know in the book of Revelation chapter 13, it gives us a description of an end time kingdom that will be ruled and reigned and governed by a figure called the Antichrist, and he will have the help of the false prophet. In this final empire of Bible prophecy, it will be a complete totalitarian government. It will be ruled again and orchestrated and reigned by the Antichrist. Today, I'm going to show you what I believe is the beginning framework that is ultimately going to help bring about this final empire of Bible prophecy. So strap on your seatbelt and get ready. We got a good one today. Let's get after it.
The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scaparro, the founder, the pastor, and the voice of End Time Headlines, and it's Friday, September 6, 2024, and we've got a prophetic message we want to give you tonight. I believe that you're going to be very intrigued by this word that we're going to give tonight, but before we get started, can you do me a favor? Help us get the word out. You can do that simply by smashing that like button. This will push out our material. And for your benefit, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Hit that bell notification on these platforms or whatever you're watching from. If you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, again, if you give us a good review, that will help push out our material as well so others can catch our programs there on those platforms as well. And then, again, take it a step further. Download our free app today. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You can pick yours up today. Again, it's absolutely free. You can pick it up today at your convenience, either by, if you're listening, just go to your app store, download End Time Headlines, download the app, and hit yes to push notifications. If you're watching this, if you'll go to the description of the video, all you got to do is simply hit that link where it says download our free app. Just hit that link right there, and it's going to take you to the page where it'll give you the instructions on how you can pick up this app today. This is how you're going to keep up with our ministry outside of social media. It's the greatest way to catch every headline, every podcast, and everything that we put out there. So, guys, if you have your Bible, I would love for you to turn to the book of Revelation chapter 13. All right, Revelation 13, guys, you know, most of you guys know this. I should not have to elaborate and put a strong foundation on this, but we know that Revelation 13, John the Revelator peers into the future. The Lord gives him a vision of a time wherein which there would come a final, what I call a dictator, a final leader, a governmental leader, a world leader who will rise to power, and he will not act alone, but he will have a sidekick called the false prophet. This leader will be, your Bible calls him the Antichrist. And we know according to Revelation 13, that he, through the false prophet and the Antichrist, they will create a system wherein which every citizen of the world will be required to take a mark on or in their right hand or on or in their foreheads that they will not be able to buy, sell, or trade, except that they have the name, the mark, or the number of the beast. And again, the Bible clearly says all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, and slave. Again, this is Revelation 13, 16 through 17. So having said that, we know that we have to get to, eventually we have to get to that point, guys. We have to get to a point where we have this this society that that is conducted through these means of buying, selling, and trading. Now, as we've pointed out many times in the past through other podcasts that we've done when we've centered around this particular topic, you can see the evolution of time as it's went on, the evolution of technology, and how society has engaged in buying, selling, and trading. At one time, cash was king. It was cash, cash, cash. But eventually, then came the introduction of credit cards. Then came the introduction of other methods like touch and pay, using biometrics, using, and when I say biometrics, I'm talking about your fingerprint, retina scan, and then came the scanning of your palm. And again, I believe all of this is advancing the framework, if you would, of what we read about in Revelation 13 to fulfill Bible prophecy. There has to be, guys, there has to be a generation that's alive in the earth that has this technology given to them, that technology available in that time to fulfill this prophecy. And I believe there's never been a generation alive like we have today that has this technology available and accessible, that these governments, listen to this, the governments of the world are all embracing it. Now, when I say embracing it, I'm simply talking about, we're talking about what I call a digital currency. They're pushing for a digital currency. And as we pointed out, and many others have talked about, a digital currency will enable governments of the world to track every transaction. There will be no under the table payment here, or you give a cash donation to somebody, or you try to help somebody, or you give them, you know, you give somebody some money because you just want to bless them, or you have every transaction, every one of them will be tracked. It'll be governed. It will be, all of this will be accessible to the government to be able to monitor and see every transaction of every citizen across, again, the globe. All the governments are all joining in on this. They're all coming to this. In fact, there was a recent report indicating that dozens of national governments all are joining the United Nations in the global push for a, quote, digital public infrastructure. This is called a DPI. And they want to do this within the next 5 years. Now, this plan includes central bank digital currencies, or CBDCs, digital identification, comprehensive data systems, and more, all functional across national borders. Now, I want to say that again. This plan involving major governments, dozens of national governments, the United Nations, wanting to create this digital public infrastructure within the next 5 years that will include the likes of a digital currency, a digital identification, a comprehensive data system, and all of this will function across national borders. It's very important that you remember this, because I'm going to show you some reports in today's broadcast to show you that the framework, in my opinion, is absolutely being laid out right before our eyes. This, to give you more insight in this, this new scheme, this new plot is, it was unveiled and let out of the bag last year. It's known as 50 and 5. And the reason why that is because 50 governments expect to have this digital infrastructure within the next 5 years. You ever heard of the 2030 agenda? And because of this, over a dozen governments have all volunteered to have their population serve as the first movers of this infrastructure. Well, the citizens are the guinea pigs. They're the test rat. They're the lab rats of this. Now, the UN has the hopes of that this will catch on and be embraced, where in which every government will eventually impose this on every citizen on the earth. In fact, let me read a statement from the United Nations. Quote, all countries, regardless of income level, come on, Revelation 13, geography, or where they are in their digital transformation journey, can benefit from being a part of 50 and 5. The United Nations agency behind the scheme declared this recently, quote, joining the campaign helps ensure countries don't have to tackle DPI implementation alone or start from scratch. This program, led by what is called the UN Development Program, again, this is UNDP is the acronym for this, which is this new digital infrastructure, is being framed as a tool to accelerate the imposition of a highly controversial UN 2030 agenda. This is their sustainable developmental goals. Again, this was all referenced in 2015 by key UN leaders as the, quote, master plan for humanity. These SDGs, as what they are known, have all called for global wealth redistribution and are dramatically more government power, or they're asking for more dramatic government power over people's lives at any cost and at all levels. And guess who is playing a crucial role in this development? China. Of course they are. They always spearhead this stuff, guys. They have been the forerunners on digital currency, biometrics, the tracking of their citizens. They created that social scoring system. They implemented the tyrannical quarantines and measures during the last pandemic. And sadly, the U.S. just jumps right on board with it. Not just the United States, but even in Europe. And of course, Bill Gates, he came out and celebrated the role of these technologies in imposing the UN SDGs on humanity. Quote, the G20 reached a groundbreaking consensus on the role of digital public infrastructure as a critical accelerator of the sustainable development goals. He even went further to say that, quote, I'm optimistic about the potential of DPI to support a safer, healthier, and more just world. Now, those who have read the fine print of this, they are coming out warning that this entire infrastructure is creating an opportunity for total surveillance and control of all people across the planet. And even the 2030 agenda made a statement that says that, quote, no one will be left behind. Guys, is this not chilling to you? Remember, let me go back and show, I want to take you back and show you this, because we're going to keep going back and forth, because I've got to get this on the forefront of your mind so you can understand this. Again, the Bible tells us there's coming a time when you and I, if you are, and I'm going to make this statement right off the bat, and I know some of y'all is going to disagree with me that, and that's okay, because we're not always going to see eye to eye on our theological stances and our beliefs. Now, there's different camps of believers, and we'll have a mixed camp here. Some of you believe that we will all be here during this system of buying, selling, and trading with the mark of the beast on the hand or the forehead. But then there's another camp, of which I am of that part of that camp, that believe when this is implemented, the church will be the remnant church, the spirit-filled, come on, the church that has been unwavering, that has not compromised, that has kept the oil in the lamp and their wicks trimmed and their fire burning, they will not be here. I believe they will be taken in the rapture. And when the church is removed, the restrainer, 2 Thessalonians 2, is removed from the earth, then the Bible said, Paul said, then the wicked one will be revealed. His full manifestation will be revealed. He will invade Jerusalem, invade the Temple Mount, set up his headquarters, and then here we are, mid-trib, Revelation 13, him and the false prophet work together, create the image of the beast and the mark of the beast. So again, you've got two camps of thought here. One is the post-tribbers. They all believe that everybody's going to go through this and we're all going to experience this and we're going to have to make that decision. Whereas the pre-tribbers believe that, again, Christ removes the church from the earth. The church will not be here because we have not been appointed unto wrath, and thus will be in heaven, and those that are on the earth during the tribulation, whoever that is, those that have been left behind, for whatever reason, they're in the tribulation, they will be forced to either take the mark or they will be left with their life. Their life will be taken from them from the Antichrist. But don't miss the point. Whether you're on this camp, whether you're in this camp, the point being is We could have debates all day, whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, no trib, whatever. But the one thing we all have to come into agreement on in this program today is the fact that there will come a time in the future. There will be a society in the future. There will be an antichrist. There will be a false prophet. There will be a mark of the beast. And again, you will not be able to function in society lest you compromise, lest you surrender your sovereignty and embrace this system of buying, selling, and trading, which will require something being put in your right hand or in your forehead. We have to all agree on that, guys. Come on. And I'm telling you today that everything is, the framework is being laid out for this right before our eyes. Now, I know a lot of churches don't see this because they're not being told this behind the pulpits. All the while, guys, while we're distracted by the circus antics and the shenanigans going on in the White House and up in Washington, all this nonsense, they're, virtually all national governments and central banks around the world are all working on central bank digital currencies or CBDCs. Even according to a recent report by the Bank for International Settlements in Switzerland, they are heavily involved in helping to guide and coordinate the rolling out of such currencies worldwide, as cash is being completely sidelined and in some places is disappearing. These CBDCs will create a permanent record of all transactions, just as I told you earlier on. And there has been leading experts that's come out and warned that these digital currencies will also have the capability of being programmable. What does this mean, Brother Ricky? What do you mean? This, again, ultimately allows governments an unprecedented degree of control over the entire economy and individual decisions of consumers. Let me show you an example. So watch this. If they label something as a threat under the radar of, name it, something that the governments that be labeled as a threat to democracy, or it's considered, quote unquote, a facilitator of misinformation, hate, and the list goes on, and they look at your transactions, because remember, everything will be traceable, and they see that you are, again, you're tithing, you're giving offerings to a ministry that stands for righteousness, stands on the word of God, and speaks out against atrocities, and speaks out against blasphemies and abominations that maybe a certain administration that is in a position of power promotes, advocates, or pushes upon its citizens. If they deem that you are a mouthpiece that is a threat to them, well, all they got to do is, because they can trace and see that the funds coming into you are coming from certain individuals, and those individuals will be punished. There will be repercussions. Guys, look what happened, and I don't even want to say these dates, but look what happened at the Capitol several years ago with individuals that were just bystanders that happened to be there that day, and if they were caught on camera and their employer knew they were there, or they were picked up on by Google satellites or certain technologies, then there was repercussions, even with their banking and with their credit cards and with their financial systems. Look at the truckers in Canada that went on a strike, and you saw how they handled that. They froze their accounts. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about tyrannical dictatorship. And then you get into the whole, then you got the White House, the Biden's White House, when he was still, and it's questionable whether he was running the show or whoever was running the show, they called for a CBDC to advance racial equity and environmental priorities. What does that mean? It means that they are calling to track companies and their carbon footprint. So if you have a company, you have an industry, you have a business that is violating these carbon footprints, regulations, then again, they can just flat out cut you off and freeze your assets and your capability to be monetized or earn money. All right, then I want to move on and we'll talk about this. Along with the CBDC, governments around the world are also rolling out digital identifications. Now, what is this? Digital identifications. I want to talk about this for a second. This is a this refers to a universal digital identification system that provides a unique, quote, secure and verifiable identity for individuals across the globe. This digital identity can be used to access various online and offline services, including banking, healthcare, education, government services, and more. Some of the key features of a global identification are the following. It is unique to an individual, providing a single verifiable identity that can be used across multiple platforms and countries. Number two, it is designed to be compatible with different systems and platforms, allowing for a, quote, seamless integration across borders and sectors. That's going to be important when I show you some reports here in a second. A global identification is generally built with the advanced security measures like encryption and biometric authentication to protect against fraud and unauthorization access. It also often includes privacy controls to ensure that users' personal information is only shared with their consent. Then there is there's the goal of a global ID, a digital ID, where in which it will provide an identity to millions of people who currently lack official identification, especially in developing countries, enabling them to access essential services and participate in the digital economy. Do you hear that? Because think about this, guys. How in the world can Revelation 13, logically, how can every person on the entire planet be tracked? Did you hear this? Listen, a global digital identification will provide identity to millions who currently lack official identification, especially in developing countries, which will enable them to access essential services and participate in the digital economy, aka buy, sell, and trade. Let me give you three examples of this. It's already happening, guys. Number one is the World Bank has promoted the concept of a digital ID to help countries establish identification systems that are inclusive and secure. Number two, the UN's SDG Target 16.9 or the Agenda 2030. We just talked about this. All of this aims to provide legal identity for all, including birth registration, by the year 2030. Then you have what's called the European Digital Identity. This is the European Union developing a digital wallet to offer its citizens as a standardized digital ID to access services across member states. Look at this headline, Russian state to collect biometrics of foreigners. According to this report, foreigners entering the Russian Federation for a period of more than 90 days will be obligated to submit their biometric data upon entry into Russia. This will be a part of efforts of the Russian state to strengthen national security. So far, a draft bill has already been submitted for consideration of the Russian parliament, being designed by members of the local political party, quote, a Just Russia for Truth. An official spokesman of the party comments, the existing features of writing the surname patronymic of citizens of certain countries in Cyrillic and Latin allow for several options for writing passport data, which makes it impossible to clearly identify a person who has entered the territory of the Russian Federation, which in turn makes it possible for persons who have committed an offense in Russia and were previously deported to re-enter Russia. The authors of the bill are citing on the data from Investigative Committee of the Russian Federation, according to which the number of crimes committed by foreign citizens within the territory of Russia is growing every year. I want to read this. At the initial stage, foreigners will be obligated to undergo a fingerprinting procedure. In this case, it will be necessary to register for them, not at the migration service at the place of stay, but upon entry into the territory of Russia. Implementation of these plans will be carried out by the Center of Biometric Technologies, who is an official operator of the Russian Unified Biometric System, and at the initial stage will be carried out in Moscow. The report goes on to say, in accordance with the amendments, by February of next year, local mobile operators will have to notify foreigners about the change in the rules for providing communication services. And by March 1st, they must reissue documents and submit biometrics. Let me say that again. By March 1st of 2025, they must reissue documents and submit biometrics. If subscribers do not do this, quote, their communication will be disconnected. A representative of the Ministry of Digital Development told in an exclusive interview, biometric registration in the draft law is understood as placing a face image in the unified biometric system in accordance with the requirements of the law. Here's another one. Japan is set to introduce new entry system for foreign tourists. Let's see what this is about. According to the report, traveling to Japan as a tourist has been a breeze for visitors from 71 visa-exempt countries and regions, as there's no requirement to obtain a short-stay visa at a local embassy prior to travel. However, that is all set to change in the future. Oh boy, here we go. As the Japanese government has announced plans, here it is, to introduce a new travel authorization system. What is this about? This system will require visitors to declare personal information online in order to enter the country. The new system is said to run in a similar way to electronic system for travel authorization in the U.S., which was introduced as an anti-terrorism measure. Just as ESTA determines the eligibility of visitors to travel the U.S. under the visa waiver program, the Japanese version, which the government has tentatively named JESTA, will also screen visitors prior to entry using a similar online system. The government says the aim of the new system is to reduce the number of illegal immigrants who come to Japan from visa-exempt countries and regions and remain beyond the valid period of stay, which currently ranges from 14 to 90 days, depending on the passport. Under the current system, international airlines provide the government with passenger information from screening shortly after takeoff, which means travelers who don't pass the screening still arrive in Japan, and although they're officially ordered to leave the country, many fail to do so. So again, do y'all see this? This system. These countries are jumping on to this new system of tracking every individual across the planet. And you see how this is going to sell, don't you? Fear sells. So if you got people, listen, logically, I know what some of y'all are thinking. Some of y'all are thinking, well, this is a good thing, Brother Ricky, because we can track these illegals from coming in here. Yes, that, again, it all sounds good on paper. So does convenience. So does putting something in your hand to the people who don't know Bible prophecy. That is appealing to them because it's convenient to them to access entry, secure locations, to have the advantage of convenience, all this stuff. So this is, again, this is enticing to people who don't know Bible prophecy. But I'm telling you, this is the bait. This is the lure that's pulling people into this. Why, these people knew what they were doing to get people on board. Watch this. Let's watch this video on, quote, the benefits of a digital ID system. This is what's going to sell it.
Well, it was a funny joke 25 years ago when the New Yorker published a cartoon of two dogs, and one dog says to the other, on the internet, no one knows you're a dog. But it's not funny anymore, in that you really do need to have a secure identity. That secure identity must be backed up legally, or that you can actually sign any document.
So you need a secure identity.
With that identity. And that requires a secure identity to be tied to some kind of national registry.
Did you hear that? This digital identification? will be tied to a national registry. Who's going to have access to that national registry? Who gets their hand in the cookie jar with that? Who gets to control things? Who gets to monitor things? Who gets to determine things here?
You already have that with a passport here. You have that with a driver's license where the state guarantees that you are you because you have a driver's license to show. Well, why do you need to have a driver's license to show? Why can't you extend that to your secure identity online?
So this is, again, what we talked about earlier, the evolution of technology. We start out this way, but then as time evolves, society is forced to convert. You're forced to jump on board with these technologies. If you don't, you're left in the dust. You're literally left behind.
Basically what we did. Since we established a very secure, strong identity digitally, which basically everyone in my country uses to do business. You know, the idea was that, why should this be restricted strictly to people who live in the country?
All right, guys, here's another clip. They're talking here. This is an exchange about biometrics changing the future of passwords. Again, all of this is enticing people to jump on board with this.
About the pain points of passwords. Eric, what's the problem with passwords and PINs?
Well, passwords are fun, right? Because the biggest challenge with passwords is that people are constantly forgetting them. And then when you forget the password, you have to change it, and you get that annoying message that says you've used that password before. One of the neat things that we've been working on with mobile technology is the leveraging biometrics in order to become the password.
To become the password, again, in the name of convenience here.
Areas where this is happening is in fingerprint technology and then in iris recognition as well. For the IT department, you can be comfortable in knowing that the security levels behind biometrics are there to support the data security that you're looking for from a company perspective. But for the end user, again, it's something as simple as touching the screen with the finger or looking at the iris scanner to access the information.
Now, notice he said touch and look. Touch with your fingers, your hands, and to look, your eyes are positioned on your head with your forehead. So you see how it's slowly edging, or it's not even slowly anymore, but we're getting closer and closer to literally the fulfillment of in the right hand and in the forehead to buy, sell, and trade.
So we're really solving for the security on the IT perspective, but then the ease of access and the usability on the end user.
There it is.
So what kind of biometrics applications do you see in the future, let's say in the next 5 or 10 years?
So the cool thing is this is happening now, and I think it'll continue to grow as we move into the future. But beyond biometrics, just unlocking a device or unlocking the secure folder or access to email on the device, what we're already seeing is biometrics playing a large role in banking applications. So using fingerprint or iris authentication to actually access my bank accounts.
There it is. Financial.
Most important information to me that I want to make sure is absolutely secure on that mobile device. Also for processing payments. So now with
buying, selling, and trading,
the combination of either the fingerprint or the iris authentication, I no longer need a password when I'm using my device to pay. I simply can look at the device and unlock that access to that payment information, but it's still stored very securely on the device.
Now I know you're listening to that and you're like, well, Brother Ricky, I don't really see anything wrong with that. Because after all, my phone uses it. And I get that. What I'm saying, I'm trying to tell you, friends, is don't be shocked. Don't be shocked when we see this push more and more and more into whatever that looks like of putting something in your right hand or in your forehead, because it's eventually going to come to that. We're just in this stage now. Look how far we've come from cash to credit cards to this, and we know where this is going. I'm telling you, the framework is all being laid out for this. Look at this article. Europe's new border controls for November, what travel should know. So Russia, Japan, and now Europe. Let's read a little bit about this. According to Forbes, Europe plans to introduce, here it is, a new biometric passport system in November of this year. So in 2 months from this recording, 2 months, November of 2024, in Europe is going to introduce a new biometric passport system. This will be followed by 6 months later by new travel authorization for many of its visitors. And here's what travelers need to know. Let's read this. EU Home Affairs Commissioner, and I'm not even read her name, I'm just going on here, confirmed that the new entry exit system would be deployed on Sunday, November 10th, 2024, and that the new process is in the final testing stage. The EES is a new scheme that uses biometric data to allow short-stay visa holders and visa-exempt travelers to pass through borders into that region, that country. Fingerprints and faces will be scanned as travelers pass through electronic gates. Wow, fingerprints and faces will be scanned as travelers pass through electronics. It is intended that it will replace passport stamps. There is your evolution of technology. This old method that we've all known is being done away with, guys. We're the introduction of this new era. They're pushing this agenda. Again, it is intended that it will replace passport stamps, which are currently used across European countries. However, stamps take time and do not allow countries to record overstayers. The system will register the person's name, the type of travel, document, biometric data, which is the quote-unquote fingerprints and captured facial images, and the date and place of entry and exit. The commission calls this EES the most advanced border management system in the world, ensuring that travelers do not stay in this area for more than 90 days in any 180 days. And of course, here is the selling point. This new system will make it harder for criminals, terrorists, or Russian spies to use fake passports thanks to biometric identification photos and fingerprints. Again, I know people's going to say, well, Brother Ricky, I don't really see anything evil with that. That's a good thing. Guys, you got to realize with that type of technology, if the wrong person, the wrong administration, the wrong government comes along, the wrong individual who has nefarious agendas, if this technology gets into their hands, what do you think the outcome of that would be? All right, check this out.
What do they mean by digitalization? Do they want to create one currency that we all use? And then do they score us on who votes the right way, what we drive, how we eat, how we live? Who knows? We're going to talk all about that today. Let's get right into it. G20, it started in 1999. The original inception of it was after the Asian financial crisis as a forum for the finance ministries and central bank governors to discuss global economic and financial issues. So G20, NATO, World Economic Forum. G20 is different than NATO.
Look who all's involved in this.
It was military, G20's economy. Then G20 is different than World Economic Forum because G20 is government. World Economic Forum is private companies, just to kind of, you know, the difference between what these guys are. So who is part of the G20 members and why did two countries not show up to this year's G20 summit? The G20 members are Argentina, Australia, Brazil, Canada, China, France, Germany, India, Indonesia, Italy, Japan, Mexico, Republic.
So if you want to know who these key players are, there they are on the screen. He's naming every one of these. These are G20 members.
Korea, Russia, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, Turkey, United Kingdom, US, and EU. And two countries didn't show up. And I bet you can guess who those two countries are. Russia and China didn't show up to this year's G20 summit. Now, how big is G20? How much influence do these guys have? Here's what it looks like. They account for about 80% of world's GDP and 75% of global trade. G20.
Think about that.
Countries are home to 60% of world population, combined population of over 4.9 billion people, combined GDP over $150 trillion. Hence, digitalization. Imagine the influence they have of $150 trillion. They get to say, if we want to have one currency that you and I have to lose, they got enough power and influence to be able to pull that off.
Wow. Did you hear that statement? And you think Brother Ricky's crazy and I'm a conspiracy theorist? Listen to that. Can you not see how this is all unfolding?
It may take them 5, 10, 15, 20 years, but they're going to pull it off if that's what they want to do because they got that kind of influence. 80% of world's greenhouse gases, they're responsible for about 75% of world's military spending. G20 has been criticized for its lack of transparency and accountability, and they've been criticized for its inability to reach consensus on important issues. And despite these criticisms, G20 remains an important forum for international cooperation on economic issues. So remember earlier when I talked to you about the fact that the theme was one earth, one family, one future, and they had these different bullet points I want to talk about.
Guys, we had to rewind this. Look at this. Look at the theme. One earth, one family, one future. Now, how many of you guys have heard me talk about this? Genesis chapter 11 is the original picture of the first new world order or one world government. It's right there, guys. Look what it says. Genesis 11. The whole earth had, what does it say here? One language. Y'all see that? They had one speech, and it came to pass. And then you go on, and they had one agenda. Come and let us make bricks and bake them thoroughly. They had brick for stone, and they had asphalt for mortar. They said, come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower which top is reached to the heavens. Let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be scattered abroad over the whole face of the earth. So you study a little bit of history on this. I studied this one time. Nimrod was trying to convince the people of that day who, remember, they came out of the flood of Noah. So he was convincing the people of that day. He had leverage because they just came out of a disaster. And he capitalized on the people of the earth's fears that another, world global event was coming or a tragedy. So he convinced the people, here's what we need to do. We need to come up with one language, one speech, one agenda, and we need to build this tower that reaches the heavens. And the reasoning behind that was so that in the event that another flood would come, that God, they would be unreachable, that God would not be able to touch them. It was in complete defiance of God, saying, look at us, look what we're doing, this is our agenda, and it was complete in defiance of God. This is why, friends, when you go down here, if you scroll down here, in verse 5, but the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the sons of men had built. I'm in Genesis 11, 5, and the Lord said, indeed, the people are one, and they all have one language, and this is what they begin to do. Now, look what I highlighted this for you. Now, nothing they propose to do will be withheld from them. So God said, let us go down and confuse their language and let them be scattered abroad. So again, God had to come in, intervene, and stop this agenda from being fulfilled. Why? Because watch this. The spirit behind it understood what the agenda was, but it was a premature time. It wasn't time yet. But when you go to Revelation 13, that will be the time, that will be the season, and that will be the time on the prophetic clock wherein which God will permit or allow these governments of the world to come together with one agenda. One leader will rise up. He will control all of them. The Bible says he will control 10 nations. And they will carry out what hell wanted to carry out all the way back in Genesis 11. But God said, no, it's not time yet. That's coming. Even Nebuchadnezzar tried it. Nebuchadnezzar created an image. And he commanded the peoples of the earth to worship it. Guys, that's straight out of Revelation 13, the image of the beast. That was a prelude to it. But then when we get to Revelation 13, mid-tribulation, God pulls the restrainer off. God pulls He pulls the restraints away. And there is no restrainer in the earth because 2 Thessalonians 2, Paul gives us the revelation that whatever the restrainer is, that is holding back the Antichrist and his agenda will be removed from the earth. And once that happens, then the full manifestation, the manifesto and the agenda of the Antichrist will come to full fruition. All right, let's get back to this. Watch this.
One Earth, One Family, One Future, and they had these different bullet points I want to talk about. There was a 70-page document called the G20 Policy Recommendations for Advancing Financial Inclusions and Productivity Gains Through Digital Public Infrastructure. Keywords. Let me say it again. Advancing financial inclusion. That's not the most friendly word, inclusion. There's a part of force in there. Right. It sounds noble, but it ends up being through force to include you, whether you like it or not.
Now, listen to that. It includes you whether you like it or not.
And then productivity gains through what? Digital public infrastructure. What are they talking about with DPI, like digital public infrastructure? The acronym DPI was used 441 times. The term financial inclusion was used, ready? 263 times. Digital ID, 83 times. Government to person payments, 24 times. One more time. Government to person payments, 24 times. Do they want one government? If they're able to get one currency, what can they do with this? What level of control can they have?
If you want a snapshot of it, Revelation 13.
Something some people are concerned about because it lacks transparency and accountability. So again, what's DPI? Digital public infrastructure. Interoperable, open, and accessible infrastructure supported by technology to provide essential society-wide public and private services digitally, such as identification, payments, and data exchange. They didn't say decentralized. This is centralized. There's a big difference between being it centralized or decentralized. So Bitcoin, one of their biggest things that people would talk about is the fact that decentralized, where it's kind of like a government's not controlling you, there's going to be control because obviously this is all these 20 members controlling that currency. So that's the DPI part. But let's talk about the government to person payments. Remember how they use that phrase 24 times? What is government to person payments? Look at the statistics. So here's some context. Globally, government to person, G2P payments, have increased significantly in scale, as if that's a good thing. Government to person has significantly scaled. Look at the numbers. In 2021, over a quarter of adults were receiving payments from the government.
Stop. You realize this is what certain candidates, the next potential president of the United States wants? It's no secret, guys. They want a socialist, Marxist agenda, a society. They want us to rely on the government. Why do you think small business owners, entrepreneurs, all of them are under attack right now? Because they want this thing, this agenda pushed here. Again, this is what he's revealing here.
An increase of 400 million individuals from just 4 years earlier, not 40 years earlier, 4 years earlier, 400 million more people were receiving payments from the government on average in the past decade across a sample of 46 developing countries with available data. 1.5% of GDP was allocated to social assistance payments, 3.6% to pensions, 7.3% to public wages. And they talk about how COVID-19 helped accelerate the process. In their paper, they said,
of course it did.
In 2020, in response to the COVID-19 crisis, spending on social protection programs increased even further to at least $80 billion across developing countries. So COVID-19, beautiful thing for G20, because it allowed them to increase their 400 million more people getting government to person payments.
Oh, and I'm sure that just was a happenstance, wasn't it? It was just an accident. We didn't really plan for that to happen. It just fell into place, and never let a disaster go to waste, right? Come on, guys. Wake. You know this. I don't have to tell you to wake up. We have a remnant here that understands and see what's going on here.
The increased scale of G2P payment programs offers a huge opportunity to advance, ready, financial inclusion, contribute to women's economic empowerment, and promote the development of the digital ecosystem. Again, more of the same inclusion stuff that they now want to push down people's throats worldwide. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I'll give you a couple of them here. Here's another one for you. Leveraging DPIs. DPIs can enable digitalizing G2P payments in an efficient, inclusive, again, an adaptive way in the following areas. Beneficiary accounting opening, account registration with government program, generating payment instruction, payment cash out or digital use, Watch this here. Jurisdictions that have in place DPIs, such as digital ID, digital payment systems, and infrastructure for data sharing, were also able to reach more beneficiaries, generally respond in a faster, more targeted, and transparent manner during what? The pandemic. The pandemic was the best thing for the people that wanted to impose CBDC.
And see, and again, and when people brought this to the light, they were ostracized. They were silenced. They were shut down, deplatformed, censored, completely just removed their whole identity on the internet. Completely, people's careers were destroyed because they shed light on this agenda.
They love the pandemic because it sped up their process. Look, if you want to get into this, you can. I'm not going to read the whole.
So, guys, here's the bottom line. Everything we just showed you today is, I believe, more strong evidence that we as a society are quickly accelerating toward the fulfillment of what the prophets have told us. John the Revelator gave us incredible detail about this coming revised Tower of Babel, if you would, this system that will be controlled by one individual, spearheading the whole thing. And in the days of Noah, it was Nimrod, and the coming one will be the Antichrist, whoever this is. It will be the same agenda, same spirit. Everything will be exactly the same. You're seeing again, what does the Bible say, guys? That which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. And I want to leave you with some encouragement here. Always, Luke 21:28, guys, Jesus said, when you begin to see all of these things coming to pass, come on, you should recite this with me. Then look up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Listen, God bless you guys. Thank you for coming on the program tonight. Again, don't forget to hit that, smash that like button, hit that bell notification, hit that subscribe button, download our free app, get it today, available on Apple and Android devices. Again, it's absolutely free. Pick it up. Hit yes to push notifications. All this stuff, you'll be squared. You'll be squared away. You'll be good to go. Listen, we've got a lot to. We got some announcements, so I wanted you to stick by. Don't forget, guys. We have prayer coming up. We officially launch our corporate live streaming prayer. This will be this coming Monday night, 3 days from now. On what? September 9th, I believe, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern. This will only be streamed. Listen to me carefully. This will not be streamed on Facebook. It will not be on YouTube, not on Instagram, not on X. It'll be streamed exclusively here on our YouTube channel. So if you guys are listening, watching from any other platform outside of YouTube, I want to encourage you to jump on over here, subscribe to us here on YouTube, hit that bell notification. And then that way you're good to go. Why? It's because then you can participate in these corporate times of prayer. This is not going to be just you watching me pray. It's going to be you participating by submitting your prayer request. I will read these live on the air. We will call you out by name, pray for your family, pray for your situation. Now we'll probably get engaged into some corporate prayer, and we'll pray about scenarios. This thing will evolve and it will change as times change. What do I mean by that? So as we get closer to the election, we're going to pray about the elections because this matters. The Bible tells us that we're to pray for our leaders and people in government. We're to pray for this. We're to pray God's will for this. There'll be events that will happen. There'll be disasters, no doubt, will take place. Things will change across all sectors, and we're going to specifically pray for those situations. Okay? So we want you to be involved in this. We encourage you to be participating in this. This is going to be a great thing. Listen, also, guys, if you'd like to support this ministry, it blesses you, encourage you, want to give back, support it, partner with us. All of this can be done two different ways. You can give electronically through the app or through the main website. Again, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com, or the app. Go down to the bottom, right where it says donate, and click there, and you can donate there electronically. Or you can give by check or money order, and you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. So again, as always, guys, we love you. We appreciate you. Listen, when I come in, I'm probably going to share this Monday during the live prayer, but I'll share this on our Tuesday normal podcast. But I got an email today that is phenomenal. And it's in relation to the podcast we did yesterday where I shared my testimony of how I got called to the ministry. You've got to hear this testimony. So again, I don't want to share it today because we've already gone over an hour, but I'll probably share this on Monday night and Tuesday night because I know not everybody will probably come on Monday night, but we're going to share that this week. I've already sent them out an email and asking if it's okay and for permission to share it. I'm pretty confident they're not going to have a problem with that. So I want to share this because this is an amazing testimony. So guys, we're going to sign off for tonight. Listen, I hope and pray that you guys have a great weekend. Be safe, be blessed, be encouraged by the word of the Lord. Again, spend time in the Lord. Have a great time in your houses of worship, whatever that looks like for you. If you have a physical brick and mortar home church or a small group, enjoy that time together. If this is your home church, then we love you and we're going to sign off for the weekend, but we'll be back Monday night for prayer. So until then, I pray the Lord bless you, may he keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you Monday.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.